The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Welcome to the Schmidt List, the podcast for people dedicated to managing successful projects, developing impactful products, and building engaged teams. And now, here's your host, Kurt Schmidt.
Tom, how are you today? Thank you for joining me. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to join me. How are you?
I'm fantastic, Kurt. Thanks for having me on. This is great.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here.
I really appreciate it.
I was thinking of you earlier this week because I had a conversation with a business owner, and I was doing some consulting with them, just asking them what sort of dent in the universe do you want to make as a person? How do you want to be remembered? And I remember the person saying, I want our clients to feel that they're very well taken care of and that their products are great and this and that. And I was like, no, I get that from a business standpoint that you want to have a great company and all these things. But what do you want personally? What do you want the company to do for you personally? What sort of goals are you going for? And again, the person went down the path of, I'm really want customers to be satisfied. And it was a struggle because what I found over the years is that if you don't have a North Star as a person running a business or even running your career, which I look at as a business, and if you don't have that North Star defined, where do you want to go? Who do you want to be? It makes it difficult to make the right choices in your career and where you want to go. So I want to throw that out there to you, Tom. Have you experienced this? Have you heard this sort of conversation, had these conversations before?
Yes, I've experienced in my life. I want to do something that's going to better the world.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, that's the marker for where I am today. But at the same time, I want to make money. And the two usually don't go hand in hand.
It's difficult.
So do-gooders and moneymakers aren't necessarily married to one another.
And I get it, because when I was in my 20s, like, I didn't care about saving the world or my legacy as much. So I think it's definitely an age thing that comes with it where you start to realize, like, what have I worked so hard for other than the weekend for all these years, right?
The goal in life, by and large, this is the Tommy Hoffman secret to life. Ready?
Yeah.
You want more people at your funeral than less people at your funeral, right?
Yep.
It can just start and stop there. What am I doing today to get more people to actually want to come to my funeral? It may be a morbid way to look at it in these days, but yep. I use that as a touchstone in a way.
I have a good friend, Laura King, who does career coaching. And the first part of her career's coaching is you write your obituary.
Yeah. And I've seen those exercises before. I started my career, I've always been in sales. Since the day I got out of college, I went into sales. I started selling insurance, which I didn't even know what I was selling. My first job out of college lasted about 6 months and I was totally miserable. And it was just the classic first job. I don't think anyone likes their first job. But from there, I was fascinated by the dot-com world. I went through a couple other iterations, but I went fascinated by the dot-com world. Now, I'm a 51-year-old, and I was at the time where the dot-com boom was happening in the late 90s. And I was fascinated. I wanted to be on the fast track. I wanted to be involved. I just wanted to be in the mix. I wanted to talk the language. I couldn't wait for, like, Industry Standard magazine would show up. This is when we had magazines, actual
and
physical magazines.
The world was just moving so quickly then.
It was so great. And you were getting this master's degree that you didn't have to pay for, right? It was like a life degree. It was so cool. Here's my biggest mistake. When the NASDAQ crashed in 2000, 2001, and the dot-com boom died.
Yep.
I got lucky and I was with a kind of a hybrid brick mortar.com company and whatever. And we got sold to another company and I had these spam shares of stock and I ended up making $33,000. I thought I had won the lottery. Okay. Like I thought I was the richest kid. And to your point earlier, I didn't think about saving the world. I wanted to make it to the weekend. And so I went and started to play golf.
Yeah.
Not a golfer, but I started playing golf and I started doing all these things that like, okay, this is going to be great. Sure enough, I learned really quickly that $30,000 back in 2001 was going to last about 7 minutes. But I what I did is I ended up going and looking into investing in real estate and little duplexes and triplexes and small apartment buildings. And I didn't know where to go and I was lost. And I just, to this day, it is my biggest professional regret. But at the same time, it's probably the best move I ever made.
Yeah,
so on the lens of regret, I went to the easiest job. I'm like, oh, I'll just start selling real estate.
Sure. You
know? Not that it's not great for a lot of people. And a lot of people are really passionate about it. And they have a tremendous success. But for me, it's not who I was. And I was faking it to make it. And it was just so obvious to me. Yet I did it for 6 years. Hmm. And I went down this, I lived in this miserable state for Tom for 6 years. And I did well. I had relative success. I fed my kid.
Yeah.
At the time I had a kid. I fed my kid. We kept a house and we had clothes and we lived on, went on vacations and it was a nice life. But
the American dream, right?
I was never satisfied in here. Yeah. And when I give you the fastest version of the story that I can think of, in 08, I was in the real estate business selling small apartment buildings and duplexes and triplexes. And the first thing to go in 2008 was small apartment buildings, triplexes, and duplexes.
Yep.
So I went through a really hard time. I don't know if it was clinical depression, but I went through a really hard time. By the grace of God, two things happened. One is my wife showed me a picture of myself 4 or 5 years earlier than that. And I had gained a whole bunch of weight. Mm. I'd become the dad with the little kid who the kid eats 5 chicken nuggets. There were 7 on the plate. I get the other 2. Like I just became that guy. I like looked at this picture. I'm like, oh my God, who the hell is this guy?
Who's the fat guy
in this picture? And I called a buddy of mine. It's like, oh my God, I just don't like who I am.
Yeah.
I was miserable professionally. We had no money. It was going down the toilet. Everything was just at a bottom.
Yeah.
Also, I was almost 40 years old.
Sure.
And right, I was 38 years old, whatever it was.
Yep.
And my buddy said to me, he said, you should maybe do some exercise. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Well, what do you do?
Right. Where do you start with that?
So,
what is that? Tell me more.
So, like I said, there was two things. One is I bumped into someone in an elevator bank that I had worked with 10 years earlier at another job. And she said, hey, nice to see you. You do real estate, right? That's what people used to say. You do real estate, right? I said, yeah. She says, well, we need a new office. Well, she didn't know that I did this small apartment resimercial business. She said, we need an office. So I ended up going into saying, I can help you because I needed anything I could get my hands on. So I said, I can help you. I call my buddy up who's in the commercial real estate tenant rep business, said, hey, I got this deal, an elevator bank, old friend. Can you help me? And he said, well, I can help you. But I said, well, you take the deal and I'll follow you along and just learn.
He said, no, shadow, no. Right?
This is what good friends are for.
Sure.
He said, why don't we do it together? And I'm like, oh, okay. And he taught me a deal in office representation in commercial real estate. At the same time, my other friend who told me to start exercising talked me into signing up for a triathlon, the lifetime, what they call it, the Olympic distance triathlon. So it's, I don't know. I don't even remember at this point, a mile swim, 25 mile bike and a 6 mile run.
Yeah.
And Kurt, I don't know if I told you this before, but I'm what the kids call an alcoholic. I'm in recovery. I'm a recovering alcoholic. And I say that because my personality is textbook. I take something on and I go 120 miles an hour.
You just drive it into the ground. Yep.
Yeah. Beat it up. Yep. I beat it up good.
Mm-hmm.
So I went from this short lifetime fitness triathlon to make the long story short, which is hard for me, to an Ironman 2 years later.
Oh, wow.
Ironman, Wisconsin. And that saved my life. That taught me a lot. It taught me that there is way more than just professional gain.
Yeah.
That you got to feel good all over here.
Yeah.
And furthermore, you don't just show up to work and say, okay, I got to get a deal. You wouldn't show up to it became this great life metaphor for me. You don't show up to a race not having trained. The race is the celebration of a lot of training. So how do you get a deal? Hey, you start marketing. You start working on a plan, just like you're planning your training. And I literally implemented this training process into my professional life.
Mm.
And it's poetic looking back at it.
Yeah.
While I was in it, I got to be honest with you, I didn't even know I was doing it. And my whole life went to a much happier place.
Yeah.
My wife and I. I could go on and on about that.
No, but this is great. I get that because similar with me, I also suffered, and I see a lot of people suffer today, is that you're giving up your career for a job, right? Because you're in the job, you're focused on everything that has to do with that job, but everything else around that goes by the wayside. Everything from your health, your relationships, all those different things, when those are the things that are really the key drivers, and that I see people forget that they need to really focus on everything like you're talking about, is that those things actually will enhance where you're going in your career. People think, oh, I'm going to go back to school and get an MBA. Maybe to your point, maybe run a marathon, right? Maybe,
yeah.
Or because it's, you know, getting an MBA, don't get me wrong, it's not bad. I'm just saying it might not be the only option you have to growing your career is more education. It could be a more holistic approach to the way you approach life in general.
And that's, as I get, sounds so old man, but as I get older.
Well, look, look, this is, people are watching two old men to riff, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, two old white guys. So I, as I get older, I look back at all these things that older people told me when I was young. And I'll get to the sales stuff in a second because that's my day-to-day. Someone said to me once, don't go for the job, do what makes you happy. And I absolutely 100% did not listen to that advice. And had I listened to that advice, my wife and I talk about this all the time. Had I listened to that, we would talk about it a lot with my daughter, who I have a junior in high school and she's doing homework and she's in American history class. She's actually in a World War II class.
Wow.
I was an American history major and I love that stuff.
Yeah.
Just geek up on it, soup to nuts. And I'm like, I sit there at the kitchen counter with her, helping her with her homework, and I'll start going off on it, being all daddy annoying. But what I've learned is I look at my wife all the time. I said, God, I should have been a teacher. Should have been a professor. I should have gone down that road. That would have made me happy. Yeah. I chased a paycheck. I didn't chase personal satisfaction.
Yep.
I think this is going to sound really funny, but I think the kids today, the millennials and the Gen Zers coming up, I think they actually have an advantage on us.
Oh,
I think they have a different perspective. I think we are a product of the boomers that were ahead of us, that you get a job, you get a house, you get a wife.
Yep. Go to college. Yep.
Yep. I think the millennials are a step ahead on that element. Do what feels right.
Yep.
Not all of them. It's not perfect. But I do think that there is that. It's a more accepted mentality today than it was. I have a 28-year-old half-brother from my dad's second marriage. And he's working in Aspen. And he's he has a job at a resort. And he's, living his dream.
He's doing
his
thing.
Happy. And he lives with his girlfriend. They make good money. And my dad, who's 81, product of college in 1960.
Yep.
And he says, he should get a job. I'm like, no, he's living his.
Where's his investment portfolio?
I would kill to have that happiness at that age. I didn't. I had moments of happiness, but not professional happiness.
Sure. Yeah.
And
it's something that I've been told too, which is, and something I truly believe in, which is the other thing that I think is in a younger generation. One thing that has served not so well is people saying, follow your passion, follow your dreams, all this stuff. And for me, I've always believed, do what you're good at. If you're good at something, you will find happiness in it. You will find pleasure in it. It doesn't have to be your passion. It doesn't have to be, I love skiing, so I'm going to become a professional skier or work at a resort or something
like that.
But you might be really good at making investments or something. Or to your point, you might be really good at reading people, or to our earlier joke
on AutoCAD. You might be a master at AutoCAD and you're like, you know what? I'm playing all day long. This is Ron Howard, the director, the movie director.
Yep.
Ron Howard was in an interview once and he said, I don't work. I play 70, 80 hours a week. But yeah, for right, me, exactly. It's, 70, 80 it's hours playing. Week, right. And sometimes when you play, when you're building the log, when you're building the Lego set and it's an arduous part of the build, but you love doing it. Yeah, you're not going to love every moment of your career. The one thing I would say, though, as we talk about this and as I think about this out loud, the things that I've learned today and that I look back on in hindsight, I wish I'm seeing how all these things would have paid off had I done that. I feel like I've sometimes taken this really tough path to get to where I am today. And I see that there may have been an easier path to get there.
Sure.
If I had just listened to some of the people that when you're 30 years old, you think you know better. And I will tell you, 30-year-olds, you don't know better. Now, you know something and you have your advantages. But the one thing I wish I could go back in time, and I think but I'm sure a lot of 51-year-old professionals say, I wish I would have done this too. Go back and listen to some of that advice.
Yep.
Okay. Get up every day, do the next right thing. Think like I want more people at my funeral, which means I'm going to be honest. I'm going to have integrity. Like, these things really matter. And what happened to me professionally, Kurt, is I got to the point where I had that for a while, and then it started to drift away again. And then I started to pivot into some nonprofit volunteer work. Mm. And that was the next life changer for me. We go through many of these iterations. My best friend's dad just passed away a few weeks ago. The guy worked for 3M for 38 years. He had the same job, same desk, same corner, same people, and he was a happy guy. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But we don't live in that world anymore.
No.
that world is very rare.
Yeah.
And so what we do now is I think we go through these new iterations of who we are. And at 40 years old, I started over 39 in tenant representation work, right? Or 38 I was, whatever it was, commercial real estate. I completely changed the world. I was in real estate, but completely changed the world of real estate in which I traveled.
Yep.
I just started, because of some experience that I had in my late 40s with some volunteer work, that's when I woke up to, how can I do better for the world? That's where I really saw the climate is a mess and we need to fix it. And we need to do our part. My 17-year-old daughter gives her 81-year-old grandpa a lot of shit for his Buick in 1975 that destroyed her. She gets it. She doesn't get it, but she sees it.
Yep, she sees it, yeah.
I think it's on us to pivot and to do something to better the world.
Yeah,
and I love that ESG has showed up. The ESG market is today a $50 billion market.
Right.
There are economists that think in by 2035, it's going to be a $30 trillion market. I should say it was $500 billion, I think was the number. And $30 trillion, this economist said, could be the ESG market by the end of 2035. That is real. That's people and corporations and companies and the people in the companies. You can go macro down to micro. Those are the people that are saying, okay, we have to do our part. We have a corporate responsibility. So not only am I trying to work personally and have integrity and do the next right thing, I'm also now working with a company and an organization and doing the next right thing. Listen, we're all going to have douchebag bosses. We're all going to have challenging coworkers. We're all going to have personality mixes.
Yep.
But if you are honest, upfront, transparent, and know what your isms are, be self-aware, when to shut up, when to speak up with respect, you'll take over the world and you'll take over your world and you'll be happy. I literally took a new job at 51 years old. I started over 4 months ago. And it's been a work in progress.
Sure.
And I'm in a career now that I said to my partner, I said, when we actually start making real money, I said, when we start making money, I might be the happiest person in America. I love what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I love the product. I love the world in which I'm traveling. It's fascinating to me. And that's where I want to go back to 31-year-old Tommy and say, dude, don't take this pivot. Stay on your track. You liked what you were doing at the .com world.
Yep.
You liked that technology. Stay there. And I couldn't find a job that paid me enough. And I found opportunity that paid me more. And I chased the paycheck. And that's the only thing I wish I didn't do.
Yeah, no, I know. I've lived that too. And one of the things that I see people get a little nervous about, something that you seem to really embrace, which is the idea of reinventing yourself over time. I see people scared to death of that idea, right? To your point about the guy who's at 3M for 35 years, that seems very stable. So now that things are stable, now I can really focus on life. But that's not the case. You still have those passions and those dreams and those things that you take and you want to do more with. But again, if you wait, it's okay to reinvent yourself. It's okay.
Yeah, listen, Kurt, you get one lap around this track, man. That's it. And there's no contracts with the guy that you may or may not believe in. There's no contract. It could end at any time. It sounds morbid, but it's true. Hopefully I lived with my buddy's dad who's 92 years old. I'd sign that contract today. But you only get one lap around this track. And in the very cheesy words of Leonardo DiCaprio and Titanic, make it count.
Make it count. Yep. Well, but that's my point. Is like the thing that you've gone through that fascinates me so much is that it took all these things that would... what people would consider outside forces, right? Like you didn't say, okay, I'm going back to school and getting my commercial real estate license. I'm not going back and getting an MBA so I can do this company. Like I need to do all these things in order to have permission to do these next steps. For you, it was about this exercise and all these different things that had helped with that. I see other people experience a similar sort of revelation when they're like, I used to play music in high school. And now I've joined a band on the weekends and boy, I'm really just feeling good about myself. And now they're making great career decisions. It's this thing that you have to realize that all these things are interconnected. They're not separated. And if you don't take care of the things that are around you and the way that you're trying to perform in your career and the things that you want to provide for people, then it's all going to your point. You're running towards a wall, right?
And I think that's the easiest. I think a lot of people do that. I think that's very American. I don't like my job and I'm just going to keep doing my job because I'm afraid of what's next. And right. I probably have an advantage due to the alcoholism issue that I'm a risk taker, period. Sure. So I probably have that little inherent advantage, or disadvantage. I don't know how you want to look at that, but you're right. It's constantly I keep reinventing. When I was 50, when I turned 50, to your point about music, when I turned 50, I wanted to do something to keep my brain fresh and new. Mm. I've always wanted to play guitar. Never knew how to play guitar. I knew G, D, and E. That was it.
Yeah, sure.
But I signed up for lessons. I took lessons at 5 o'clock every Friday night. I'd taking a lesson, 30 minutes. It is the coolest thing I think I've ever done. I don't obsess about it. I love it. I get to sit on the sofa at night and strum along, and my wife gets really annoyed, and my kids hate it. But I feel like I'm doing something. I just constantly have to be elevating what's the next best thing. When I took this job and learning all about the whole world of ESG and social impact funds, I'm like, wow, I want to learn. I want to read. I want to know. Yeah. I can tell you when I was learning how to sell small apartment buildings in 2001, I wasn't reading any periodicals. I was doing it because it was in front of me.
Yeah.
And I was doing it because my personality was good at it. I wasn't doing it because it wasn't here. Now I'm sitting there geeking up, staying up too late, reading material that I'm like, I can't get enough of this.
Yep.
What a gift.
Just absorbing it all.
Yeah, that's the gift.
That's awesome. So, Tom, final words of advice for people out there. I think what I picked up from you today is that reinventing yourself is okay. Yeah, we can look back and say, I wish I would have made some different choices, but we have to your point, we only get one lap around this track. It's okay that if right now you're thinking maybe I'm stuck, and I talked to a lot of people last year that wanted to make a move, but because of the pandemic, they were really scared that this is an unstable time. And so maybe not make a move then. Final thoughts, final parting words, Tom, what would be some of your advice for people that are looking, maybe are stuck in it and they feel a little dead ended right now and they're struggling? What would your advice be?
Try to see the forest through the trees. Sometimes the trees are getting knocked down in front of you. COVID destroyed my business that I was in, destroyed it. I had a pipeline that was great by March 20th, 2020, dead. And it forced me like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And instead of sitting there and sucking my thumb and pitying myself, I reinvented who I wanted to be and I worked at it. I also have kids to feed and a wife, a house and a thing.
Yep.
But my words of advice are go with your heart. Follow that heart. If I could do anything, go with what makes you happy. And go to your point, do what you're good at. You will be so happy. And it takes a little risk. There's a friend of mine who's leaving a particular business and they're going to go into, they want to be in software. And he's 30 years old. He's like, oh God, what am I going to do? Start at the bottom. It's going to suck for 6 months, 9 months, a year. You'll have to maybe borrow some money from your parents, or you have resources. You figure it out. We figure it out. Mm-hmm. But don't get stuck. And if you're stuck, start getting a plan, like for the Ironman, right? Get a plan to get unstuck. Find a therapist. Get counsel from a mentor. Call people. Rely on others. I'm a firm believer that God works through other people, right? You can't do this alone. No one can do it alone. And that's my advice, is seek that help and come up with a plan to get out of the doldrums, because that's just not a place to be. Yep. It sucks to be there.
It does.
And I've been there a couple of times, and you got to work yourself out of it. Yep. Go for a run. Go for a walk. Learn how to play guitar.
Yep.
Eat a chocolate chip cookie. I don't know, whatever it might be.
Sounds delicious. Now I'm hungry. All right, Tom, I want to thank you so much for joining me. I learned so much and I appreciate you sharing your story. I think it's really powerful and it's important that people are hearing these types of stories from folks like you, that it's okay. We can take some risks. Yeah. And like you said, there might be some really scary moments. If you're good at something, you can only get better at it.
And what doesn't kill us makes us stronger, period. That's right. That's an old cliche that is so true. Yep.
Cool. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you for listening to Schmidt List. If you like this episode, you'll love our new YouTube channel. Just head to YouTube and search for Schmidt List and subscribe. We'll be doing live interviews and career coaching weekly, so I'd love to see you there. If you're interested in how my company Foundry accelerates innovation, head to foundrymakes.com to check out all the work produced by our amazing team of strategists, designers, and engineers for companies of all sizes. And one last thing. Please take a moment to leave a review on iTunes, as it helps other fantastic people like yourself find the show. Have a great week, everyone.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.